Welcome to the Coda Catch-Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about 2016 predictions. Now, it's the start of the year. I hope everyone's had a pretty good break, and I hope you actually got to have a break over the Christmas period and the New Year period. Now it's the first episode of 2016. I thought it'd be great to kick it off with some predictions for the year. It's always fun to do predictions. It's an interesting concept. Like a lot of different websites and podcasts like to do predictions. It's always fun, and sometimes it's nice to see if your thinking kind of is in line with what's kind of happening with the flow of the web. And when you do a retrospective, you get to be able to confirm those predictions or see what went different or anything like that. It's mainly a bit of fun, but also it can be a little bit of a hopefully testing your foresight into where things are going in the web. So my predictions are mainly going to be around the front end. I think we're going to see a very, very large shift in front end work. So less back end, more front end. It's going to be very, very much focused on that. So where do we start? I'm going to start off with the very, very basics here with CSS. We've touched on last year a little bit about the, you know, loading just enough CSS to get what's going to be visible in the viewport first loading. I don't think that's going to see a big rise to do with this critical CSS, but I do see post-CSS itself becoming more prominent and starting to take over some of the market share of SAS. Now, it doesn't mean that SAS is going to go away, and I don't think it's going to overrun SAS's market share. It's not going to exceed it, but it's certainly going to start shooting up quite a lot. Now, why? Simply because it's very modular in itself. So if you haven't checked out PostCSS, I recommend checking it out at github.com/postcss/postcss. So it's essentially, you think of it like SAS and less like your pre-compilers, but what it mainly allows you to do is use future CSS now, and it does it to a point, but you want to include things. So like if you want to do the nested syntax that SAS does, you include a module or a plugin, and that allows you to do that behavior. If you want to do mixins, same again. The plugin architecture makes it really nice with SAS, for example. If you want a certain feature, let's say container queries. So I think container queries can be another thing that's going to be coming in 2016, at least some kind of spec could be officially made. If it hasn't been already, I don't believe it actually has. But if you wanted to use that, you'd have to wait until SAS Core adopts that. There's no real way to have SAS know about that feature and bring it in. I don't think there's a simple way to do that. But with PostCSS, there is. Someone can release a very small plugin or a module, and you include that, and you get that behavior, which is fantastic. The other thing with PostCSS that I really like over SAS is the more native kind of syntax that it adopts. So with variables, even though personally I really don't like the syntax for variables in the actual CSS spec, but it allows you to actually use the spec. Now with SAS, if you want to do variables, you're using the dollar symbol, whereas if you want to use the native, what post-CSS will transpile is the dash dash whatnot, so if you want to name them. And then the usage is a little bit different there. But the benefits of this is once this becomes fully supported on your projects, you can just drop the module or the plugin and just continue using it. The other benefit too is that you see the actual spec, so you get to write what you'll actually be using in the future. So there's no need for an abstraction layer, which what SAS does. It's essentially like an abstraction of CSS, you know, prettified CSS on there for you to allow you to do better things. You know, it's a DSL for CSS, really. So there's some benefits to post-CSS there. I'm already starting to see a couple here and there articles which are going through showing more native uses of CSS, so with variables and things like that. So if more and more tutorials are going that way, I could definitely see people using post-CSS to keep in line with any of those kind of tutorials. So I think they're going to kind of give a push towards post-CSS. The next part is more future CSS selectors going to get used, i.e. 8 and 9, and I think maybe 10 might be deprecated or killed this year. I think it's happening very shortly. So support's going to be dropping for those. So we're getting a whole range of new CSS attributes, properties, and things we can use that we couldn't before. And I think that's going to make a huge difference there. But where we don't have that functionality, we're definitely going to be seeing your SASs and your post CSS coming into that play. So I think a lot of future CSS is going to start to be used, whether it's officially run like in the browser or if it's going to be transpiled. So I think we're going to be adopting more of that CSS, which I think is fantastic. You know, we want to see more use of calc and flexbox and things like that. It's really going to become a mainstay. I think flexbox in itself is going to be pretty huge, like really, really huge. Why? Support is pretty fantastic now, and there actually is polyfill for that called flexibility. So check that out on GitHub. So those are my main things with CSS. Just to touch on a little bit more before we go into the next big gun is animations. Animations are very interesting, but I think we're going to be starting to use them in more subtle-ish ways. I won't say purely subtle, but we're going to find things that are more animated, but animated with purpose and not just be like, oh, this is fancy animation. It's going to make the experience a lot nicer. So there'll be a lot of animations that happen, which you see, but you don't see. So it's kind of affecting you subconsciously. So you're not being like, oh, cool, that's animating in. It's just, it's going to work and flow well. So actions when you're destroying something on a page and how that's going to move away or something like that, or how something enters in on the page, like animates like a nice window fades and slides in or something like that. Something very minor, which be done very quickly, more than likely. It'll be fairly snappy, but it's just that little touch instead of being very, very static. So we're going to see these kind of micro interactions happening with CSS. So that's my other prediction with CSS. Now, getting onto the big guns, JavaScript. Now, JavaScript lately has been exploding. In 2015, there's been a lot of talks about almost a JavaScript fatigue happening, and there's a great article on Medium, which I recommend checking out, which I have a link in the show notes, and that's it's a very interesting read, and it's kind of striking, and it does make sense once you actually review it and read it. You'll definitely see what's really happening, and if you didn't really notice it when you read that, you're going to start noticing it everywhere, and it's very true. But enough on that. The main thing with JS is that it's going to dominate the web. So we're seeing React.js flourish in popularity, like massively, just simply because it's very simple to learn, although it is very verbose if you want to do fairly deeply nested stuff. But it's ease of use to be able to just, because it's a framework, sorry, it's a library, not a framework. You can just plug it in anywhere. It's little bits here and there, and you can eventually replace like a whole set, like a whole page with React, but you can do it by bit. One of the good examples is comments. So you might just want to change the comment box where you actually type in your comments and get that going. Next thing, you might transition the actual comment feed into React components, and then you slowly keep going up the stack. It's really nice to be able to do that. But what's pushing that is this adoption of JavaScript, because we can do a lot more with it in terms of the responsive web, being able to change views out based on stuff that's happening with the window or anything like that. So we can get the window size and completely load different views, as opposed to having to rely on CSS to move things around or display or undisplay or enhance. We don't have to worry about that with JavaScript. We can do a lot of things very easily with it. So I think that's going to make a big, big difference. So React itself is going to just skyrocket. I still think Ember is still going to take a fairly upward trend, especially with Ember 2. And now they've got the Glimmer engine in Ember. It's very, very fast, you know, so you can't really play the what's faster game. Some people might argue that, but really they're pretty quick. One thing I'd like to see Ember, though, is get its initial payload size down. It is a lot more than something like React and Redux. So React is really going to drive the front end. We're going to see an explosion of React everywhere, especially with React Native too. But that's a different kettle of fish there. But React is really going to be kind of a mainstay with JavaScript, I believe. We do have things like Vue.js, for example, but I still think React, simply because of the people that are using it, it's really going to push things forward. And in saying that, where we're seeing that movement, if you check out WordPress.com, they've got Calypso. Now, if you haven't checked out Calypso, it's essentially a front-end for WordPress. Well, it's a front-end for the back-end in WordPress, which is all powered by Node and React. So we're seeing these interfaces change to be very more, a lot more dynamic, and JavaScript's perfect for that, as well as the real-time aspects you can get from it. But in saying that, you think, oh, well, WordPress is adopting it. That's pretty big. If WordPress ends up moving that from the .com once they roll it out, which I still don't know if it's 100% that they'll roll it out, but once they move that into normal WordPress, big, big game changer there. Dries from Drupal. So Drupal's another large leading open source CMS or content management framework, if you'd like. They're actually questioning, should they be moving to more of a JavaScript-based backend? So for the admin side of things, or even in the front end, because they have a REST API in Drupal 8, which got released last year. And yeah, very, very, very interesting time for JavaScript. I think it's the year of JavaScript was kind of last year. There was an explosion, but I think this is where it's going to start to mature a bit more, and we're going to start to see a very sharp rise in adoption of JavaScript on the front end, whether that be with the ES5, ES6 syntaxes. I think ES6 will continue to grow thanks to transpilers, which is coming up to my next thing, or our runners build tools. But yeah, if you're not getting on JavaScript in 2016, you're doing yourself a big disservice and making a huge mistake. You really should be looking into JavaScript if you're doing anything on the front end. Which hopefully you should be doing a fair bit of JavaScript anyway on the front end, but native JavaScript and using these tools like React, for example. So getting on with the transpilers and the build tools, we're going to see more of an adoption of those. Seeing as you're using things like Sass and PostCSS, and then we're using like React, for example, we need something to actually compile those, run those, do things in the background. So we're going to see a larger adoption of Gulp, which it's pretty big already. We've seen Grunt kind of slip away and Gulp's kind of taking its place. But Webpack is starting to see a big rise simply because of React itself. Or I think React is really influencing the use of Webpack, as the kind of go-to for anyone who's developing React is React and Webpack. So that's the kind of combo, which you could then do a combination of Gulp, Webpack, you know, together. There's a lot of things there. So we're going to start to see a very large adoption of more build tools in a lot of places where people actually didn't use a build tool. So whether they're just using it for their JavaScript front end, so to, as I was saying, React being on the rise, then they're going to need Webpack to basically compile their React. It's just going to happen that way. And last but not least is we're going to see an explosion of sites actually being secured over SSL, so that's via HTTPS. Thanks to the likes of Let's Encrypt. I think this is going to be pretty huge. I spoke about this on a previous episode, running through everything about Let's Encrypt itself. That was episode 49 on the podcast, and also released a short screencast on using the auto-install tool for Apache with Let's Encrypt. So you can check that on the new Cody Catchup YouTube channel. I'm going to try and get some more videos out on there. I was going to be recording some over the break, but spent a bit more time with family than on the computer, so those have been delayed a bit, so I've got a list of those to get recording. But yeah, so Let's Encrypt's going to make it very easy, and because it's free, and the painless, absolutely painless setup of getting SSL on your site and getting it secured, it just makes it a no-brainer. Plus the search engines, particularly Google, favoring sites that are using HTTPS to display their content, so putting everything over SSL will give you a bit more SEO juice there. So we're going to start to see an explosion with that. And with Let's Encrypt too, because it's a CLI tool, it's very easy for providers to be able to basically add like a one-click install to get that set up on your site. So those are my main predictions. So we're going to see a big, big push with front-end, and there's going to be sort of like a front-end renaissance, I believe. It's going to be very interesting. Mainly CSS, but a huge chunk of that is actually going to be JavaScript, so they're going to complement each other quite well. And then, yeah, the animations and then the encryption. So that's it for my 2016 predictions. I'd love to know what you think is going to happen in 2016. You know, it's just into January. There's a long time to go and there's a lot on the horizon. But I'd love to know your thoughts. What do you think is going to be happening? What do you think about my predictions? I'd love to know. So please leave a tweet at CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email through to at codacatchup@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. But that's essentially it. If you do have some spare time, please do rate, review, like, whatnot, the podcast on your podcatcher of choice, and make sure you subscribe, and we'll catch you the next episode.